What's up, y'all? This is Tony Powell, and you're listening to Powell to the People, the podcast, episode 277. Once again, I'm joined by the finest cast in the whole podcasting universe. When I want to know what's going on with anything New York City transit related, there is absolutely no expert I have more faith in than my cousin, Mr. Keith Powell. What's going on, Keith?
Man, I am wonderful, and it's great to be here with the crew once again.
And when I want to talk local TV news, there is absolutely no expert I have more faith in than my favorite TV news director, who's also my favorite brother, Mr. Mark Powell. What's going on, Mark?
What's up, fam? What's up, world?
And when I want to talk local New York City real estate, who do I go to? What expert do I trust other than the man they call Mr. Eddie Kane Jr.? World calls him Derek Powell. His church calls him the Reverend Dr. Bishop Derek Powell. I call him DP. I call him my cuz. What's going on, DP?
Everything is good. Always good to be in the cypher with the cats. How you guys doing?
I'm good. I'm actually very good. You know why? Because there are no allegations of pedophilia being directed my way.
Outstanding.
That's always a good
thing. I mean, yeah, you know, it's...
Praise him.
Yeah. It's not even something you should even brag
for doing
about.
The right thing.
Yeah, no, exactly right. That's what I'm saying. You shouldn't even be
yeah, supposed to wipe your ass when you go to the bathroom. That's not a credit for that.
For not wanting to sleep with some 14-year-old girl when you're 30 years old. You shouldn't.
No, that would even be a thought at all.
Of course not. But apparently, in some areas of show business, not only is it a thought, it's an everyday occurrence. Now, on this podcast, I have mentioned that I listened to Jaguar Wright. Jaguar Wright was an R&B singer, correct, Keith? Yes. Back in the day, R&B singer, and she was coming up in the same time frame as some of these people who are now coming under fire, like Sean Combs, P. Diddy, among others. So it would be fair to say that Jaguar Wright was in the room. She's the Forrest Gump, so to speak, of that time frame in terms of music. Not saying she's an idiot. I'm just saying she seemed to be everywhere all at once during that era. And she has made some allegations about Sean Combs way before the FBI got involved. I think we've talked about it on the podcast before. I said the thing about R. Kelly wasn't that we weren't aware of R. Kelly's predilection towards young girls. Wasn't that we were not aware of any of that. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't until the drip, drip, drip that happened as a function of the documentary Surviving R. Kelly that suddenly it became prosecutor worthy. Suddenly it became a law enforcement issue more than anything else. That led to him trying to defend himself, him appearing on with Gayle King.
Wait, Anthony. You sure it wasn't Gayle King that took him down?
No. The reason he showed up on Gayle King with Gayle King was because the documentary was going viral, and the stories being told in the documentary were going viral, and apparently he was being interviewed by the authorities about his situation and what was going on and trying to get information, and that's what happened.
Okay, I always thought it was him with the lollipop, outside McDonald's, in the car,
Yeah, buying Happy Meals
cheeseburger.
For high school girls is probably not a good look,
Yeah, he needed to drop another chocolate factory joint. When that he's supposed to be up, he mess around on Gayle people. They trying to take my life. He should have been in the goddamn studio duplicating what he did to get that pressure off him. Because that's the only reason I still believe this wholeheartedly that folks didn't really go after him because the music was so damn good. My opinion.
I don't know. I think there's a part of that that is absolutely correct. I think the fact is that we looked at R. You see this guy who is incredibly talented. He's a good looking man. you think, well, sure, why would he have to? What do you mean? He's got the world in his hands. Why would he even need to go that route? We don't know. We didn't know that he himself had been molested. We didn't know that he was, you know, had a predilection for young girls, even though we saw Aaliyah and we thought, we saw it right in front of us.
Yeah.
We saw him in the video, Dave Chappelle making jokes about
peeing,
you know, peeing on the little girl.
We saw it.
We saw it and we kind of were like, you know. But like you said, as you said, Derek, the Chocolate Factory album kind of blinded us for a little bit. So I say all that to say that Jaguar Wright, way before the FBI raided Sean Combs's Holmes's, was talking about what was going on, what she saw, what she knew to be true. Again, these are allegations. We know nothing. These are all allegations. I'm just doing this for entertainment purposes only. I have no idea. This is all speculation. According to Jaguar, these things have been happening on a regular basis. There were allegations of abuse. And then the Cassie lawsuit comes out. Right, Kim Porter, you know, strange circumstances around her death. We were all like, oh, how'd that happen? What's going on? But it wasn't enough. It's still, again, as I said, I use the surviving R. Kelly analogy. It's not enough to make us look in. But then all of a sudden the Cassie lawsuit comes out and the allegations are not only horrific, but they kind of dovetail with what Jaguar Wright had been saying had been happening. You know, you see it in a legal filing, and yet the stuff that Jaguar Wright had been saying, she could have filed it, because, I mean, the stories are almost the same. Follow that up with other people coming out. Suddenly, a producer, I forget Lil Rod's last name, but Lil Rod's lawsuit, he comes out. It is almost identical. The same allegations, the same stories. Puppy's bodyguard. I think I sent you guys a video of his bodyguard talking.
He's been talking for a while.
And he's been saying stuff. So this seems to be a pattern. None of these guys operate in a vacuum. Bill Cosby didn't just use one cappuccino. He had been doing it for a minute. You know, when one person comes out, all of a sudden, you know, one person sees that and they're like, well, wait a second, that sounds familiar. And before you know it, it's like 50, 60 people talking. So Jaguar had mentioned Sean Combs on many occasions. She had talked about R. Kelly. And then in a latest posting on somebody's podcast, I wish I had the name of the podcaster, I don't know. On the latest posting, she mentions or gives the story of Chris Brown and Rihanna. Now, up until I heard this podcast clip, I accepted the narrative that was out there. Chris Brown has a hothead.
Right.
You know, he's driving his car. He gets mad. I guess they had some sort of argument. She threw the keys. He got tight. And then, you know, lumped her up. That was the narrative, right? Hot-headed Chris Brown. How dare he put his hands on this pretty little light-skinned girl, Rihanna. And, you know, damn it, whatever happens to you, you deserve it. That was the narrative. That's kind of where all of us, you know, fell in terms of hearing that story.
And you know what else? Before you go on, don't mean to cut you off. And then remember, he started getting in trouble after that.
Right.
So it just kind of, you know, you see him, he's going through the county jail, he's getting arrested. So it made it seem that that's who he was until she tells her story.
He's a bad boy. He's a bad boy doing bad boy things. And, you know, this is who he's been all along. Forget all the dancing, forget all the singing. He's a bad boy. This is who he's doing, what he's doing. So then you hear Jaguar Wright describing the events that led up to the air quote event. Apparently, Rihanna, according to Jaguar Wright, again, this is the allegations. The allegations is that Rihanna had been having an affair or sleeping with Hov, Jigga.
Not Jay-Z.
Sean Carter. Yes.
You give it all his names. God damn.
Yeah.
Hova.
Yeah, Brooklyn's own. Marcy Project's own.
Hey, you're going too far now. You're going too far.
Keep in mind, Jay-Z was about 30 when he was having this affair with, when he first started, I don't know, I guess the word is grooming. That's what they call it, grooming.
Right.
This 14-year-old child. And I think what happens, I think.
Is she a big girl? No, was she healthy? You know, looked like an older woman. Was she looked like an older woman.
14 years old.
No, she didn't look like no older woman. She looked like a.
Just question.
She looked similar to how. What's the girl with R. Kelly who you met? Aaliyah. They kids. Okay. They were kids. You would know they were kids.
They were clearly kids.
They were kids.
And you know, and I think what happens with Jay-Z is we say, well, he's a rapper. And so we knock years off of his age because oh, it's a rapper. Rapper's a young man's game. Rap, you know, mm-hmm. old rappers. But he was an older guy who started rapping. Right. You know, Jay-Z. As he said, he was a hustler, baby. That's where he was making his money. He was he was on the streets for a minute, and then it sort of, you know, got into the rap game. But he's an older, he's a man.
Yeah.
Jay-Z is closer to our age than he is to Rihanna's age.
Sure.
So Jay-Z was apparently having some sort of affair with this young woman. I hate to even use the word affair. Allegedly having an affair, sleeping with her. And in the process of doing that, he passed on. And he gave us some luggage.
Luggage.
Yeah, because luggage is something, you know, you never get rid of. You always got the same old luggage. You know, you carry it everywhere you go. you know, you carry it wherever you go. So okay. He gave us some luggage. Gave her some old baggage. He gave her, you know, apparently, according to Jaguar, allegedly gave her herpes, an incurable situation. Herpes simplex, whatever it is, one or two, I'm not sure. And Rihanna, as she was set up with Chris Brown, remember, these are two up-and-coming R&B artists. You know, he's grooming her career, and Chris Brown's career is ascending. And okay, just like Hollywood does, you put these two stars together and say, oh, wow, they have this thing. So they set them up and, you know, they start dating. And Rihanna passes on her luggage to Breezy, to Chris Brown. Now, Chris Brown has got a Samsonite to carry around. He got luggage. He got the herpes. And this is a young dude. He's 19, whatever. He finds out that allegedly he has this thing. And it sends him into a rage, as you would be. I mean, you know, why didn't you tell me? Why, if I had known, I would have done this, that, and the third. I didn't know. Come on now, you know, that sort of thing. That's not some news you want to break to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Hallmark card for that one. So,
no, it's a long distance call.
Exactly right. Long distance. It's an international call. So they're at a party. At Clive Davis's house. Remember, Clive Davis has been mentioned in all of these.
He's always in the mix. He's like the cog in the wheel, man.
The cog in the wheel. He's always in the mix some kind of way. So they're at a party, this industry party, Clive Davis's house. He goes and he finds out. After he finds out, he goes and he finds Rihanna, according to Jaguar, in a closet, you know, apparently trying to sell some more Samsonites. give away some more luggage, like she Monty Hall, and let's make a deal. And he, in a rage, calls her out, you know, out her name, and lets it be known in front of all who are in attendance. You know, I'm not messing with you no more. We done. This, you know, after you did this to me, yada yada yada. And he leaves, you know, in a fit of rage. He walks out. As he should, young man. He should be mad. Gets in this car, gets into his expensive sports car. We know it's a Lamborghini because that's all the press reported at the time, Lamborghini.
Mm-hmm.
Gets in a Lamborghini. She somehow or another gets in, follows him. You know, I guess she's mad because he called her out and called her out a name and, you know, said whatever he said to her, and she's upset. She gets in the car, and he drives down the Pacific Coast Highway. Clive Davis's home is, I guess, up in the hills. He drives down the Pacific Coast Highway, and if anyone's ever driven on the PCH, it's one of the most famous roads in America. It is beautifully scenic. It's also windy and hilly because you're driving down the hills, you know, going back towards LA. It is a driver's road because, again, lots of short turns and sharp turns, and it's almost even like damn like a Formula One course. It's the coast of California. It's the Pacific Coastal Highway. It literally hugs the coast of California. And we know the coastlines are not smooth. So he's driving now, and he's mad, driving 100 miles an hour. And in the car, she's beating his ass, you know, and how dare you call me this, and how dare you call me that, and I'm so-and-so, and I'm this, I'm that. And he's taking these punches while he's driving this car at a high rate of speed. At some point, he must have pulled over, got mad. I remember reading the stories that said that, you know, she threw the car keys away or threw them into the bushes or whatever. And that's what set him in a rage. But I imagine he was mad, according to Jaguar. He was tired of getting his ass beat in the car while he's driving. Could have killed them both. He retaliates. So the story that we get is, as you said, Derek, he's a bad boy. He's just a woman beater. He beats her ass and he's going off. And that's that. This is, you know, that's the whole thing. He's arrested, I guess, on the red carpet.
He was. Ain't no guess. He was.
Right. Yeah. He was arrested on the red carpet. And that's the story. And I remember that the next time we see him was right after Michael Jackson died. And he was performing, I think, at the wake or something. And he was crying during that. But his career is at that point. Not saying it's over. But it's been irrevocably damaged at that point.
But you're missing some valid points, Supervisor, man.
Oh, please. Enlighten us.
I don't know about y'all. I'm going to speak for myself because this is where I get in trouble. I don't remember driving in a car because you said she took the car keys with a woman and she felt comfortable enough just to touch the radio. You feel what I'm saying? I don't know.
So you're going to learn, huh? Right? You'll know by next time.
But you know, I don't know how you feel a man's vehicle. Even if somebody's leaning on your car, you coming out, hey, yo, man, you mind, you know, getting up off that? You know, I've done that before. You know, it's just leaning on it. We ain't say touching inside with, you know, with a spaceship because it's a Lamborghini. So only God knows he didn't have the automatic push button start. He got the key. And I just remember when I got my cassette tape, if I'm listening to Fight the Power and you don't want to hear Fight the Power, you don't want to ride with me. It's not like you can touch a button. You know how we used to have, you can't touch the Benzie box. For the folks who don't know what the Benzie box is, this is the radio that we used to take out of our cars because
any theft device.
That's what we did. So my thing is, when did she get comfortable enough not only to get in the vehicle, but to touch the car keys? What did she see in him? What did Jonathan Majors, his woman, see in him? Because he's muscles, and these little ladies feel that it's okay because I'm having a bad day, or I don't like how you spoke to me, and only God, you know, you just can't touch a man's vehicle. And if he's trying to get away, let this man get away. I don't know how it happened. I didn't even say this. I'm totally against domestic violence. I have a daughter, totally against that.
Derek's PSA.
My PSA, totally against that.
You're against domestic violence. Right? Well, way to go out on my limb there. Go ahead.
But I always, there was lines with me. And people, you know, I ain't never had to raise, you know, I guess my voice similar to my dad. And I give you a look like, are you kidding me? And you know, like, stop. Just don't, we're not going to do this now. Let me remove myself, and I don't remember nobody following me when I remove myself,
right?
Because it's not going to be good for my blood pressure. I'm going to talk about my pressure. It's not going to be. I'm taking take my pills. It ain't going to go for my blood pressure. So I just get away. But something happened. If he cussed her out in front of these people, why do you go get in the car? I just can't, unless it was really a setup. You get cussed out by a man and you're an artist. You could get an Uber. You could get somebody to drop you. You're leaving luggage. I know somebody you could drop you off, leave some more luggage. Why you got to get in Chris Breezy's Lamborghini? That's what I'm thinking. It might have been a setup for Breezy, man.
Okay, all right. I was fine with you for the most part. I don't understand the point of the setup. What are you saying?
The setup part. If you're looking to build a story and kind of remove the light away from you, you need to go follow him and talk the money. And you're hoping.
Oh, you mean Jay-Z? I'm not.
You know how I feel about Jigga. I ain't say Jigga.
I'm lost. I'm saying
it could be saying, we don't know who's at this industry party, but somebody said, you need to go deal with money. You follow what I'm saying?
Because I'm saying it's all on the woman. I mean, if she's a grown woman, she's the one who followed.
Well, she's
and did what she did. I don't think anybody's saying, hey, go follow him in some kind of weird conspiratory cover up.
According to the stories that we're hearing, she's a young woman who has been groomed. So she's not, if she's in the closet leaving luggage and she ain't leaving luggage with Chris Breezy, she's with whoever she's with, maybe they're saying to deflect. You know how you deflect attention away from you? Go see so-and-so. You need to go talk to him and straighten him out. Why does she feel comfortable enough to go straighten out Chris Breezy? And if you ever saw Chris Breezy in those celebrity basketball games, he's got some nice size on him. He's a great athlete.
Yeah.
He busts. Man, I don't know if I could hold Chris Breezy back in the day, man. Chris Breezy can play. So the setup is, it's just my opinion, me being the devil's advocate, if we can get this guy to explode, maybe it'll take away the attention of what he may say about what he saw. Because he never comes out with
it. Okay, I'm trying to figure out the angle of the setup. Okay.
Yeah, it's an interesting take. Clearly, that was that. I'm not sure if that was the initial plan, but that's how it was executed for the Grammys. Because to have him picked up, because this event happened before the Grammys, and then I believe I don't recall it. I can't. Maybe you can check it out, Mark. He was picked up according to Jaguar. Jaguar says he was arrested on the red carpet. He was picked up on the red carpet for that Grammy event. Now, that there would solidify and cement him as the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Rihanna now is the sympathetic, empathetic figure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but the first thing, Ann, how the hell are you going to get in my car? That's the first thing. I done cussed you out. I done called you every name underneath the book.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go outside and let you in my car. Yeah, I guess with the Lamborghini, the doors, it has the suicide doors that come up, or the flip doors or something.
Probably
like that.
So. Yeah.
But still, if you get in the car, I got to get out because I'm in a place that you just took me to.
Exactly.
And you try to leave luggage with someone else, and you gave me some luggage, and you want to talk to me. We have no conversation. There's nothing to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I got to walk away from this situation because it's going to turn very, very, very bad, and which it did.
It did.
Mm-hmm. So, even like you said, driving the Pacific Coast, you're not in the right state of mind. He could drove off one of them goddamn cliffs, kill both of them.
I don't know what she could have said to him, though. When she gets in the car, I don't like what you said about me. Well, you a hoe. I'm not a hoe. You can't let her get in that vehicle. I just don't know what I'm not defending what Chris Brown does, another PSA. I'm not defending it. I don't know what her headspace was where she felt, if he's that hot, she can get through him to make him understand something. What does she want him to apologize? I don't know what you want when he has to go to a pharmacist and get treatment for the rest of his life. I don't know what you want him to. What can you tell?
Uh-oh.
Ant, we can't hear you.
Anthony, we can't hear you.
I got my mic off. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm just going to say it this way. I'm not sure that he was not, in her mindset is, okay, this is bad news for me and my career. I can't have him going out blowing up my spot as my career is on the rise, on the come. Okay. I can't have him out here screaming, I know you're mad. Let's not mess up this money. Let's not blow up this situation.
Man, what do you mean,
I got shit on my dick, and you tell me I shouldn't be upset?
Look at my lips.
Hard.
No, listen. I understand exactly what I'm saying.
She can't be in that
frame. No. But I'm saying she clearly was concerned that because if the situation happens as Jaguar describes,
right.
This is a public situation. Now you have the in air quotes the hothead. This is the one. This is the element of this equation that is the unknown factor. I don't know what he's going to do. Mm-hmm. Are you going to go to the press? Are you going to go here? Where are you going? What are you doing? What do you plan on doing? Yeah, from Breezy's point of view. To your point, Derek, there's nothing you can tell me. There's nothing you can say to me.
No.
But from her point of view, and as we said, Rihanna is worth $1.3 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly she had something to lose by not letting all that story get out, by making sure that her thing was not blown up. And again, if Jay-Z decided he wanted to orchestrate that situation and manipulate that situation, mm-hmm, and get him out of the way and shut him down, what better way to do it, again, allegedly, than having Chris Brown arrested in a public space, in a public forum, and have the newspapers tell us the story? Because again, that up until today, that's the story we knew.
Mm-hmm.
The story we knew, hot-headed Chris Brown laid his hands on this beautiful young child the way he did. How dare you beat that woman?
Mm-hmm.
That's the story we know.
And you know what's crazy? If I remember this, he wasn't able to play in like the NBA All-Star game.
Right.
They banned. I'm like,
right.
Because I'm looking at the date that's typed. I'm like, 2009. This is 2024. And they're still holding that over him, man.
Right. They're still, again.
Yeah.
I think that's what Jaguar was saying. She said she was, I think that's what she prefaced this thing, this latest statement by saying, I'm tired of seeing them go after this young man.
Yeah.
I'm tired of seeing them drag him. This is the story.
Right, this is the real deal.
Well, if the story is really true, you imagine someone giving you some baggage.
Right.
You're a young man, 19, your whole life is ahead of you. You're 19 years old.
Not only 19 years old, you're a rock star. You Mr. Music. Mm-hmm. Everybody, your options are wide open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now you cut my options down to really zero once people find out about this.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, now my whole world is changing.
I'm sure somebody found out.
But you know what I'm saying? This whole world is changing. I never forget, I was driving the bus when I was working in the shuttle. And I'm at Broadway Junction. I hear this guy screaming, oh, this bitch just gave it to me. I guess he was playing a razor blade.
Ooh.
The only thing I kept hearing him say, I'm going to kill her. I'm going to kill her. He's crying, but he said, I'm going to kill her. Now, you imagine being 19 and you find, you know, you got something you never had before, and this is the only person you've been with.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I can tell you from my own life's experience, I never forget it. I remember it like it was a damn moon landing. I'm in college, and on the cover of Time magazine, it was herpes. the new scare. You know, this is before the AIDS epidemic. You know, this is before like the middle of the 80s changed the way we viewed everything. Because prior to that, you know, you young man, my only question was, you know, are you on the pill? Okay, cool, great, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Herpes all of a sudden was like, nah, you know, now it's an inspection, you know.
Yeah.
Flashlight, you know, the whole 9 yards.
Everything ain't a cold sore, man. It's 100 degrees outside. If you see them walking around with that, remember that little Blistex?
Yeah. So I'm saying, you know, that was back then. That changed our whole perception, our whole game in terms of what was going on. So I'm even shocked, quiet as it's kept, that this is a story that happens in the 2000s. Because again, you're talking about, say, from 1980, when that, I guess 80 or 81, when that Time magazine article popped up, to the AIDS epidemic that followed only a few short years later.
Magic,
right?
Johnson, sure.
Right. That was Magic Johnson. But prior to that, like it was out in the 80s, this was a thing. And it changed, it altered how our perception. So the idea of using condoms, if you know the word protection, we didn't call them protection before. You call them, what they were. You call them rubbers, you call them condoms, you call them prophylaxis, you call them whatever you call them, skin, slides, whatever. Mm-hmm. But you didn't call them protection. But in the 80s, them bad boys became protection. You got protection?
Exactly.
You got a bodyguard, right? So for these guys to be that wild and loose in the 2000s, where, as I said, where now you're hearing this story, because I've mentioned, Usher on the air, that he's been to court for it, for multiple, women accusing him.
Yeah.
Other people have been accusing. So, this story, and so now if you're hearing, if Jaguar is to be believed, you're talking about Rihanna, you're talking about Jay-Z. He's married. I'm not gonna say, but come on now. All of these people are together. It's they're all running through each other. Apparently, Jay-Z and Dame Dash, their relationship pretty much ended over a girl they were both, trying to be with. So again, this is crazy. I think this is the year. Cat Williams at the beginning of the year started some truth telling, and all of a sudden I saw it the other day. I thought that was a really great statement. Someone said, "The stars are falling. All the stars are going down this year, because everybody that's been doing dirt, everybody's been getting over in the music business, everybody's been getting over in the world of comedy, everybody that's been getting over in the world of acting, all the stars are falling. We're starting to look at this, a lot different." I mean, they've gone after Diddy this year, Steve Harvey, J-Lo has come under fire.
Yeah, I heard J-Lo. She wasn't singing some song. Yeah.
Wasn't singing the songs. Now Taylor Swift apparently is getting some clap back on her music now. So, yeah, this is the kind of year, I think, even when I watched, the award shows, you kind of watch them a little different than you used to watch them. You used to be like, wow, look at that, Hollywood. Now I'm watching them like, man, these people. And you guys know, I've told y'all, like behind the scenes on a lot of people. And so I'm not saying I'm jaded, but I've kind of always known that what you see is not what you get.
Cuz we ain't going to hear nothing about you this year, are we?
Nah, I'm good. I'm not at the level where I can actually do something stupid.
Oh, no. You was on the stage with Teddy and they were throwing panties and stuff. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Those are Teddy's panties.
You sure you think that with you? They got no picture of you?
There's no, I guarantee you there's no picture. First of all, there were no cell phones back then. So I guarantee I'm not going to show up in nobody's photographic memories or
film. We love our show here now. Exactly. We don't want no problems.
We don't need you to mess up this podcast.
I forgot about it. I meant to tell y'all about this.
I'm pretty good about this here.
There's a stutter.
Yeah, like I said, there's no.
Is there a story we need to know about?
There's no cell phone. I trust me, I've been in situations where had there been cell phones, there could be problems for a lot of people, but not for me.
You just want to make sure. I know Mark said you used to come home just throw the money on the table and the bed and just go to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, it's just that was part of part of the show business.
Him being
life,
a loop, I don't think any scandal. It was just did not handle the money. It was broke. Yeah, like That's also true. Just fold up like in, you know, so most people fold it. At least I do. I fold my money and have it in order. He had it like gumballs. Just kind of
that's what I'm saying. You know, he's sticking money in his pockets as he's leaving and all that stuff.
It's like it's the line from For Goodfellas when Karen asks I forgot the guy's name, but really old character. I need money. She said, how much? She gives a size of a hand, not a dollar figure. That's how the money was on his dresser. Just like balls and patches on his dresser of money.
Yeah, that's true.
We're just checking, you know.
No,
that's why we ain't seen that check in the mail. You know, he may be paying off some stuff.
Exactly.
Maybe those checks are going to those people, Mark.
Mm-hmm. Y'all get your money? It was paid last week. Y'all don't get paid?
Nah, nope.
Last Friday, y'all in check? Nope. Y'all don't get checks?
Nope.
Make a call to the secretary today, find out what's going on.
They can ask somebody else.
I gotta find out what's going on. Yeah, before we cut out, man, there's a couple of updates. Last week, the Trump trial, I guess, began in earnest. And there was a guy who self-immolated. That's the word they use for setting yourself on fire. Set himself on fire. Apparently, he passed away from, the.
Oh, he did result. Die?
Yeah, he did die. He found out just he
so he died. Achieved his goal. That's what he wanted. He
achieved his goal, yeah. He, you know, shut down traffic and achieved his goal. I'm not going to talk a lot about, you know, whether this trial is good, bad. I could care less. You know. But I do think there's something seriously not well about people that would be willing. And think about we've had 46 U.S. presidents. Not one of them has been a cult leader up until 45. Because in order for you to, ain't nobody ever set themselves on fire because of Lincoln,
mm-mm.
Washington,
mm-mm.
Kennedy, none of these people. They set themselves on fire in front of a court to protest the courthouse. Jeez. I mean, think about what the planning is to go set yourself on fire.
There's no plan. That's just this foolishness.
Yeah, you know? But you got to have, at least you got to have lighter fluid.
Mm-hmm.
You better hope you're not sitting there with matches. You got to have a lighter.
Hey guys, so what do you tell God when you get up there and he see you all burnt up?
That's crazy.
He asked that magic question. Why?
Yeah.
I was cold.
it was nice last week, man. Yeah, it was nice, man. I'm looking at what Mark typed, and I'm like, this happened at 1:30. He poured liquid over his head and put a match to it. That's crazy. I'm like,
yeah, I mean, again, you know, to
time.
That's prime middle
people
of the day.
Get lunch.
And fire to me is like the worst way to go.
Oh yeah, I know about that.
Painful, yeah.
Right? I know about that.
I mean, you know, if you survive, we talked about it over the weekend. You know, we went out to we had our you know monthly meal.
It was delicious.
Went out to great spot. Yeah, Clinton Bakery, right?
Yes, sir.
Clinton Bakery down
being that you want to mention them their name. Get another toilet in there. They don't make no goddamn sense. All that stuff in there is one damn toilet, man. I mean, being that you want to put them out there, they need another one.
They do.
One toilet, male and female? It's unacceptable.
It is unacceptable.
At our age, you know we got to go to the bathroom before we leave. And keep, I'm waiting. And here go Ed. You waiting? Nah, nigga, I'm just standing here. You ain't skipping me. Yo.
Yeah, no, food was good. So I'm going to shout them out. Yes. Clinton Bakery, right? That's what it's called?
Yeah.
Clinton,
yes.
Clinton Bakery down in on Houston.
Yes. Houston and Clinton. Sure.
Delicious.
And Clinton. Houston and Clinton. Food was great. Great food, great breakfast, well done, nice size portions.
Mm-hmm.
Nice restaurant. We shouting y'all out.
Mm-hmm.
However.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all need to come up with another way at that bathroom. Y'all need to run that pipes to the other side of that waiting room there and get yourselves another little restroom or something or figure it out. But yeah, they do need another. They probably could use another restroom. That is true. That is true. NBA playoffs.
Mm.
Go New York, go New York, go. My Knicks
Whoa, pump your brakes. Pump them goddamn brakes. Last week, we were crystal clear. We didn't want you, and we won. So we don't need none of this today. Just be a quiet fan. We need you to be a silent partner.
How do you know that my cheering did not bring
no, we know,
up?
We know.
How do you know my cheering didn't cause Joel Keith, Embiid to jam that knee up again?
I know that. And be that I'm superstitious, I'm going to tell Mark what I told him when I saw him on Saturday. You know we get ready to get up in that ass tonight. You know, that got us this win, man. You know.
I think the NBA playoffs are unlike the NCAA tournament. It's not one and done. You guys have won one game. It's the first of four and it's the first of one. So yeah. I'll take my chances. I mean, obviously, hopefully they win the next game, which is the day we're taping this, which is tonight.
Is Embiid playing?
I haven't seen anything on my little stream that tells me otherwise.
It's questionable.
It's funny. Well, he's always questionable. He's questionable game one, game 82. It's all
he's questionable in the offseason.
It's funny because I was telling you, I mean, I'm far from a high range athlete, but I did recently have meniscus surgery. And he said when he came back in the game that he has to learn to kind of trust the surgery because I know the first couple of times I played after being cleared by the doctors and all the strength tests and everything, I had a brace on initially, but there was a couple of times I thought, damn, I can't believe it. I tore it again. Because it's just the way you land, it feels like, oh man, I can't believe I got to go back through this again.
Wow.
If you give yourself a little time, it'll feel a little better, but you're always at that point, you're leery. I mean, like,
what's the feeling? Like, does it hurt?
When I've tore it, I knew right away that I tore it.
Okay.
I was like, okay, I know that pain. But the re-injury or the jar, it's like, it's a sharp pain. It's crazy.
Mm. Now you got to think, he's 7'1". He's about 280.
Yep.
And he's coming down on 1 foot on the surgically repaired one. So that's a lot of pressure. Because even if he doesn't tear it, he has to do some type of damage to it. Because think about it, it's not fully healed yet.
Yeah, you're re-breaking up the scar tissue. So it's when it happens, it feels like you think you tore it again.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same sensation, but it's weird because you feel like you tore it again, but after the initial pain, it does kind of go away. Like, okay, I'm not limp. I mean, I'm limping, but not the same way. So it's just, I reckon that because he was laying on the floor. I was like, okay, fine.
I was scared.
Yeah, when he gets up, they didn't show it. At least I missed it. I wanted to say if he walked off on his own. And then when he walked off on his own, I said, okay, fine. It's that kind of deal. Like, okay, fine. It's going to be okay. It's going to be tender today. I know when I would come back, like the first couple of times at the plane, actually about maybe 2-3 months, I would take the ibuprofen and sometimes I would ice it down just to kind of make sure there's no inflammation. Now I don't wear a brace or anything. And quite frankly, like the last maybe 2-3 months, because at work, I always run the stairs. Like I never take the elevator. I just take the stairs. I would run upstairs. With the surgery, after having the surgery, I couldn't run the stairs. I couldn't, two things. I didn't have the bounce to get up the stairs. I always run. I almost never walk upstairs. I didn't have the bounce to get up the stairs, but also I didn't trust that my leg would fire. Like that you would think, okay, fine, I'm gonna jump up the stairs, and it just doesn't go. Now I'm back to doing what I normally do, run up the stairs and all that stuff. And also for a long while, and maybe like the last 2-3 months, it hasn't happened. It coming down always felt weird. It's like I'm coming down in stages versus, walking down like a normal person. It was like, boom, ugh, boom. So all that's cleared up. But it's just going to,
Is it psychological or physical? Because I'm trying to understand.
It's physical. Because when I watched him play,
after he had gone out, when he came back in the second half, he just seemed to not trust that leg at all. He didn't want to drive.
Yeah.
He didn't want to do anything. He didn't want to move. He didn't want to jump.
When you have the comeback, even if you do all the tests, and they say, and they show you the MRIs, and they show you, they do the strength tests or whatever. You know what the surgery has, but it just feels weird. Like I know for the longest time, like you would see me, it felt like my knee had a constant, sometimes you got to pop crack your knuckles. Right. Like I had a crack, like
pop.
Yeah, almost crack your knee. Like you kind of get past this little pop. And sometimes it would go and you're like, oh, that feels a lot better. And sometimes it wouldn't. That hasn't happened in a while. That pain is gone. So he's in the stage of playing through the cuts, being weird with somebody rolling up on you. And he doesn't jump much anyway, but when he does jump, that's 7'2", 285. That's a lot of torque. I mean, I'm mm-hmm. only 175.
Yeah, that's a lot of weight.
And I mean, you know, the first time I jumped where I forgot about it, like, oh, and I came down, I was like, oh, the pain shoots across the knee. At least for me, it did. Like, right, you know, from mm-hmm. outside to outside, I'm like, holy shit, it just hurts. And you gotta, you know, you think, okay, fine. Adrenaline. Let me kind of take in everybody. Everybody's like, "You okay, OG?" No, I'm not okay. But eventually, it'll kick back in, and at a certain point, he'll be fine. I hope, and I don't think he will. I hope he doesn't play the Olympics because in real talk, he's only about a top end 50 game a year player. Right. Ideally, he should be almost like a. Like a 45, you know, once a week play. Listen, we're gonna play you once a week, and hopefully get you to the playoffs. Now I know that it's not good for Philly because him playing once a week doesn't allow you to have a top seed, but his body just won't. He's got the Walton body. It just won't allow him to be healthy for any length of time.
Yeah, I mean, I think for him, he's probably gonna have to, you know, as Keith said, he's 280 pounds, 7 foot. I think he's gonna have to get. You know, another 15, 20 pounds off of that body, lighten up, just so that because again, he is a really athletic. Hell he's yeah. got real athletic skills. Sure. Real, he's got a real athletic body.
He's a beast.
But I think the weight for a guy his size, and you know, 260 is pretty big. You know. But for a basketball player that runs up and down the court, 260 might be better than 280. And that, we're saying he's 280. We're saying he's 280.
Yeah, I don't think he's 280. And remember, he's on like Shaq. Shaq came in at 7'1", 301, and he's got progressively bigger. Mm. When Joel came in the league, when you saw him at Kansas, he was a bean. He was skinny.
Right.
So through diet and just nature, he's become a massive dude. And it just doesn't work on his frame. He just can't handle the weight. And that, like I said before, a previous podcast, I mean, he won the generic lottery of the height and size, but he didn't win the generic lottery of the LeBron generic lottery of health. He doesn't have that deal. I mean, he's frail. And most people that size, I mean, you think about it, if you're just walking a normal body, you think of all that mass on a small footprint, literally a small footprint, you're all that mass on heels and toes. That's a lot of weight to and so when you step wrong or slightly off, that's extra tension on hips and joints, and that's how things get weak. And it's not like, I mean, that the beauty of watching a baby walk is, besides it being close to the ground, is that they're so flexible and everything's so compressed. That's why mm-hmm. you know. That's why when they fall. Go on, they're always fine. And the adults are like, oh my gosh. Like, this is what I do. But, and they fall without fear. But that's why the old person breaks their hip the older person breaks their hip when they try to fall, because what do you try to do? You don't, a baby falls like, I just fell. They right. completely fall.
We brace ourselves. An adult
tries to break that fall, and that's when you start breaking things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, again, I hope that he's well.
So do I.
My Knicks are going to probably.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Too hard to
go well through this. You know, I had the towel. You know, again, I had the towel out, so I'm not. Yeah, y'all want to shit on my towel? Fender.
They ain't using no towel in the garden, man.
I had one. I got a Knicks towel.
They're not using the towel no more.
That's because I got. They know.
Did they ever use a towel? I mean, I don't know. Did they use a towel?
Years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
I still got it. I mean, I have like a soft spot for the Knicks. I watched a lot of Knicks games going up. You know, Ray Williams and Michael Ray Richardson Trent Tucker. And,
not the dope boys. Not the dope boys.
Marvin Webster. I mean, think of it. Prior to, we only had, well, it wasn't, it probably wasn't no MSG. It was just the Knicks and the occasional Nets. You didn't watch.
Hey, Mark, that's how old your brother Tao is.
Exactly. My towel is My towel is, what is it? It's almost as old as my son's. My towel's about 25 years old.
Thank you.
I don't know if your dad knew Marvin Webster, but I run into him. Huh?
Human racer.
Right. And this is what your dad say about him. And I guess he was pissed because the Knicks was winning. How in the hell can he catch the ball with all that tape on his fingers? And if you remember, Marvin is all taped up and he couldn't. I was like, and I looked and I just started laughing. I said, yeah, I guess they must have lost some money or something, man. Because he was a happy camper with the human eraser. And then you looked at him, I'm like, yeah, he does have a lot of tape. All his fingers, like, how can he catch the guy? I just don't know that.
I heard many of those come.
Before we cut out, I don't know if you guys know this, but they are lowering. Let me say that again. They're lowering the speed limit in New York City to 20 miles. First of all, it's damn near impossible to drive across the city at 25 miles an hour.
Exactly.
It's now they're lowering ridiculous. It to damn near walking pace.
Yeah.
No, you might get a bike. 20 miles an hour.
You might get a bike.
Yeah. That's what they want. They want rickshaws and walkers. They don't want anybody, any kind of motorizing. And I saw that thing. It was after some law,
Sammy's law.
Some people get hit all the time, but 25 miles per hour in that city is hard to do. I mean, you can't because there's a red light camera or a speed camera
everywhere,
seemingly every other block.
Oh, no,
20 miles per hour. You talking about
when I walk out on my block on Queens Boulevard, I feel like the paparazzi because every time
ridiculous.
The car goes, the lights are flashing. Like, mm-hmm.
I take, sometimes I'll cut across, you know, my brother's area, so I cut across to the LIE. Go across Queens Boulevard to get to the Grand. It is, I'm creeping at 15 miles per hour just because I don't even think I got up to 25. But it's insane because he knows that ride is treacherous. It's crazy. So now you're going to drop it to 20 miles per hour. Congestion, quote unquote, pricing, which is I call Uber pricing, and just the normal traffic, it is going to be impossible to move around that city.
Now, did the bill pass or?
She was signing it. Kathy Hochul,
they're gonna Hochul and Marshall. What's the boy? Your man. They're gonna
Swaggy E.
They just think
stop people from.
Not gonna make
hit.
A difference because you still die by getting hit by a car 20 miles per hour. You can't get hit by 25 miles per hour.
And here's what I'll say to Kathy Hochul, and here's what I'll say to Swaggy E. Yes, you're going to slow the cars down. And yes, I realize on some streets in New York City, some people are driving too damn fast. But you know what I almost always get damn near run over by?
Those
e-bikes. Bike messengers.
Scooters, mm-hmm.
The scooters, people on electric razor scooters. These guys look
flying.
And they're flying, and they'll be in the bike lane, and I'm crossing, and they don't respect the traffic traffic rules. They don't respect the light. Mm-hmm. They just figure I'm on a scooter so I can just shoot across. Mm-hmm. Or I'm on a bike so I'll just shoot across. And I don't know how many times I've almost, you know, met my maker because of somebody riding the 10 speed. Not the car. I see the cars. I look for the cars.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's these guys on these bikes, on these scooters, these electric bikes that are more dangerous to me than the cars. You know, and I see it all the time. I mean, if you walk down Midtown, talking about the Garden. Let's say you're on 7th Avenue and you just watch people cross the street, especially tourists. And I used to have to grab my own son when he was little. I'm like, yo, don't follow these people because they're looking up at the buildings. They'll step right in the traffic. I'm like, wait for the light here, especially here.
Right.
And sure enough, you almost always see somebody, some idiot from Iowa stepping out into traffic just about, you know, to get run over. So I'm sorry, 20 miles an hour is going to cause more headaches than solve problems. Yes, it's not going to solve problems. It's going to cause more headaches than anything else. It might be a moneymaker for the city because I'm sure with the traffic cams, as Mark was talking about,
with
the traffic cams, they're going to get a lot of people. But 20 miles an hour, think about how hard it is to drive 20 miles an hour.
That's almost idling speed. Like if you take your foot off the accelerator, if you let your car just go on its own, that's probably about the speed. Is about 15 to 20 miles per hour. So
I'm going to give y'all guys a perfect example. Ridiculous. Imagine you on Linden Boulevard and everybody's doing 20. That's going from one light to the next light. That's as far as you're going to go at 20 miles an hour.
Maybe.
Oh my God. You won't make two lights to the next light.
You might as well drive backwards if you got to do 20.
Yeah. You know.
It's a bad law or a bad proposal.
And you can't stop kids. A ball goes out in the street. A kid ain't going to look to the left or right. The kid's going right behind the ball.
Right.
And you could be in a car going 20 miles an hour and you can still hit that kid and die.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they thought that, oh, if you're going 20 miles an hour and you hit the child might still have a chance to live. But you don't know if that person may panic when they see that child, figure they're hitting the brake, they hit the gas. A lot of things play into the situation. And I don't think that's what they take it. 25 is basically, I think, good enough for New York City because of the traffic, because of the volume of people.
Even 25, cuz, even 25, I'm telling you, when you're driving, you said Linden Boulevard, King's Highway, if you're driving 20, it is hard to do. Eastern Parkway, just driving 25 miles an hour from block to block in New York City, the way the lights are timed, it is hard to do. To maintain 25 miles an hour, especially when there's no traffic. And when there's traffic, even then, it's hard to maintain 25 miles an hour. It's, you know, 25 miles an hour is what you experience in traffic on one of the parkways in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but and even then, that's crawling. That's barely moving.
Yeah.
So yeah, this one to me is I can't get behind this one. This one sucks. I'm just not sure that it's going to work. I don't see how it's going to work. But that being said, it is better to drive 25 miles an hour than to get herpes from Rihanna. I'll say that. So
really,
what people say? If you have two things to choose from,
that's not a false statement.
Oh my goodness.
You got two things to choose from. 25 miles an hour?
False statement.
Give me 25. Give me 25.
You want 25 now, right? I bet you want that 25. Yeah. Okay.
Put five on it. Put, you know. Make 20.
If you have not subscribed to Power to the People, I do not know what you guys are waiting for. You can get us anywhere. You get your podcast anywhere you're listening. You can find us. Ask Alexa to play Power to the People. If you got a new car, have Pandora play Power to the People as you're driving 20 miles an hour in New York City. Now you got time to listen. You can be able to hear the whole episode just going across town. So make sure you subscribe to Power to the People. You can also get us on social media, Power to the People on Facebook. There's an action button right there. You can press the button, listen to this episode. You can find us on X at Power to the Peeps. P-O-W-E-L-L, the number 2, the letters D-A-P-E-E-P-S, Power to the Peeps on X. You can find us all on Instagram, and you'll find us back here next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. See you then. Peace.
Peace.